Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo.
Konnichiwa, Mina.
And Goz.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Clannad, the motion picture, a movie from 2007. I chose this one because, well, it's about time, isn't it?
Is it?
I agree with this.
I saw there was an anniversary and they sell a watch.
Then let's all get one to celebrate. No? Okay.
It's such a weird thing to release a watch based on this.
Like it maybe has... maybe a watch really ties into one of the branches of the visual novel.
Yeah, Goris, don't you know? Gosh.
There's no time travel in this. Is she definitely?
Oh yeah, what about the true ending, Goris? Yeah, fake fan.
They should have released like a Dango Maker or whatever it's called.
Dango.
Dango is that.
I feel like this is going to be a long podcast with Goris today.
Or limited edition Dangos that are only blood colored.
All dangos are limited edition because of the expiry date.
This was animated by Toei Animation, the studio behind our old favorite Dragon Ball Z Plan to Eradicate the Super Saiyans.
Why do I have to hear this all the time?
As well as the Dragon Quest Great Adventures of Dai movies, which we've covered as well. Clannad, the motion picture, currently has an AnyList score of 67%.
And it's all, I don't know if you have that, but the visual novel is by the same people who did Air, which we also did an anime of.
Yes, Clannad is a visual novel from 2004 by Key, who also did Air. But despite their previous works being adult games that had to be censored, this was released as an all-ages title first.
Oh my goodness. And then they added the porn later, right?
It got a spin-off, which was a porn, yes. I'm serious. It's released on PC, then every PlayStation from 2 to 4, handhelds included, and then the Switch. Though mainly those just released in Japan. It has had a sequel, manga, drama CDs, a two-season anime, and this movie, which actually came out before the anime. My short synopsis is Dango, 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 Dango.
I love it. I think we should just leave that and call it a day.
I wrote a separate one, which was Tomoya is a grouchy high school student until he meets a girl.
Okay, I think you should have put it in the effort and learned the actual song.
I should have, but it's too hot.
And also the song from the show is much better than the movie one.
Tara, what do you have?
Follow the story of Tomoya as he narrates his high school years meeting the love of his life.
And goes?
Tomoya and his boyfriend befriend a girl who can't climb the gentlest staircase in the world and become a dong family or something.
Okay, a lot happens in this, according to my notes. It's very hot today. My mind has been wiped, so I might not remember everything that happened. Good thing I made notes. We open on Tomoya waking up and getting ready for school. He gets his allowance, left by his father, which is on the table, and then meets his father immediately at the front door, who's arriving home from work. Tomoya ignores him.
Okay, I thought that the father sounded like Ace, or at least very in his register.
Tomoya, I think that you need some allowance.
Oh my god,
when did we invite Tomoya's father into the podcast?
Are you drunk again?
Usually.
Are you going to put me through the window?
Usually.
Spoilers!
Tomoya arrives at school in a bout of depression, from the narration, is his normal. A girl starts talking to him about the cherry blossom and how its beauty will return over and over again. And this strikes something inside of Tomoya. And we get the titles.
Dango, 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 Dango. Dango days and dango nights. Okay, never mind.
He walks off, but she asks to walk with him because she can't bring herself to go any further on her own. He ignores her and starts walking, but she follows behind. We get a flashback of Tomoyo being soaked by a passing car. It's night and raining, and he narrates, "That's when I first met her." In the present, she introduces herself as Nagisa, and... is it Nagisa or Nagisa?
I think it's Nagisa. But according to Japan, my limited knowledge of Japanese would vouch for Nagisa, but...
It would be Nagisa.
I mean, because one of the characters in Girlfriend, they pronounce it differently, so that throws my pronunciation off.
It's the same thing as Jonathan and Jonathan, obviously.
Anime! Not anime.
In the present, she introduces herself as Nagisa, and he continues to act like a dick. In class, Tomoe is asked to wake a sleeping student, Sonohara, who then immediately attacks the teacher. Later, it's lunch, and I have no idea what to say about this whole scene, so I didn't.
Oh. Thank you. That's very informative.
That section of the film was straight out of an abridged series. Like the animation seemed like a little sped up for comical effect.
Everyone rushes to the canteen to get sandwiches, which apparently are so good that they cause a riot every single day.
Now we know they put drugs in the food.
Tomoya sends Sunahara to get some sandwiches for them, and he just gets beaten up several times. And now you know basically what happens. Tomoya meanwhile heads to the roof and meets Nagisa, who is already there. Nagisa gives me PTSD from the Anpan scene from Canvas Motif of Sepia, and Tomoya winds up giving her a whole bag of it since Sunahara couldn't get him a sandwich. That was April 2023, and like as soon as they started, Anpan.
Anpan!
Yeah, you can see how the flashbacks were triggered, yeah.
We cut to the Glee Club, and as Sunahara and Tomoya pass by, we learn of the upcoming Founders Festival. We then cut to Sakagami, who is running for school council president, introducing another plot thread to this movie. That doesn't really pay off. Tomoya narrates about a creepy dream he had. He's woken by his father, who offers to make him breakfast. But Tomoya is a jerk, gets ready, and leaves.
Okay, can we specify the creepy dream isn't creepy in a, sexual way? Because this is a romance novel. I can see how it could be taken like that.
I mean, it's an all-ages visual novel. I did say that, so...
No, but you did just say they may not say for work stuff.
Tomoya narrates that his mother died when he was 5, which feels like so long ago. Dude, it was at least 10 years ago. You are definitely 15.
But it feels like it was so long ago.
He continues saying that a certain incident when he was 14 made his... not talking to dad thing worse. We then get a flashback to the incident where Tomoya's dad arrives home drunk after a night out and brings him sushi, and winds up accidentally pushing him through a window, which injures his shoulder and does tendon damage, so he can't play basketball anymore and loses his scholarship to a high school. Hey, I'm bringing you a midnight snack, and now you can't play basketball. Escalates.
I'm bringing a midnight snack and a midnight beat up.
To be fair, he was a dick in addition to his dad being drunk. Like, don't you know how to deal with drunk people?
He's 14. His mother died at least 9 years ago, which felt like a long time ago, I'll admit.
No, it was longer. He was just held up that much.
We cut back to the modern day at the hill leading to school, where Nagisa is waiting, again unable to go up. She follows him again, saying that she needs a reason to go to school, as she doesn't have one. He suggests Anpan, and runs off.
And Ace gets more PTSD flashbacks.
Later, Sunohara explains that Nagisa was sick last year, so missed school and got held back. There's then a montage while Tomoya narrates Sunohara's history as a former sports student who the school has been unable to evict from his dorm following his removal from the team due to kicking a coach in the dick.
Wow. No, that's very accurate. Very well, eloquently put.
You know, the dick seems like a big theme, because Tomoya is a dick, they kick people in the dick, there's dongos or whatever. Everyone becomes a dong.
There's a time skip of a few days, and Tomoya meets Nagisa on the hill. Apparently she's been absent due to a fever, but is feeling better and can go up the hill by herself. So why did she wait for him?
She wanted to gloat. Look, I don't need you anymore.
Later, he finds her on the roof making a poster for the drama club, and Sunohara brings lunch. Nagisa explains that the club was disbanded due to no members, so she wants to resurrect it. Later, Tomoya is walking in the rain and thinking about that light from 8 years ago. A van from Saito Electrical Construction Limited pulls up, and the driver, Yoshino, tells Tomoya to get in. We're missing some context because Yoshino suggests that Tomoya used to work for the company but is taking a leave of absence. And then he casually mentions Nagisa, and Tomoya leaps out the van and runs away.
Yeah, Nagisa was definitely his abuser.
Time passes, and it's lunchtime at school, and people are gathered around one of Nagisa's posters, which has been defaced with a big invalid.
What? What, they drew a person in a wheelchair on the poster? What?
Invalid, not invalid.
Oh!
Sakigami explains that the drama club can't return, as the deadline for new club members was last week. She tells Sunohara that the student council is probably looking to deface the other posters, so he races off to save them. He arrives in time to beat up the person doing the painting, and then he attacks a teacher, who beats him up instead.
Well, he didn't. He should have used his signature move and kicked her in the crotch.
In the dick.
Sunohara cleans himself up while talking about said teacher, Ibuki, because he's now totally into her. After school, Tomoya and Sunohara meet Nagisa on the roof, and they return all the posters that they could retrieve. She's unfazed by the incident, wanting to draw more. So Tomoya tells her to draw one more, and they'll make 200 copies to put up around school. This sends Sunohara into full Chaos Goblin mode.
I love that descriptor, thank you.
Sakigami appears from nowhere and summons Ibuki, who comes out carrying more posters. Ibuki, it turns out, was the club advisor before the club was disbanded. Nagisa explains to the former advisor that the club was disbanded while she was off sick, which Ibuki, again, the club advisor, seemed to not know or not understand.
He was busy practicing Aikido, throwing students.
Oh yeah, I've been meaning to go to the drama club to check on them. What do you mean they disbanded last year?
Maybe she was just confused. Maybe she was advisor to the martial arts club, and she thought it was drama.
Ibuki tells Nagisa to gather some members despite missing the deadline, and she'll speak to the school and try to get them recognized. They put up a load of posters, but Tomoya tells us that the plan fails. So we time skip, don't know how long, to a diner where Tomoya and Sakigami are trying to lift Nagisa's spirits. Instead, she enlists them in the club, since they only needed 3 members anyway. The boys say they don't do clubs because they're jocks. Nagisa ignores this, especially since the Founders Festival play she wants to do is a one-woman play. At school in the club room, it turns out that she hasn't written it yet. So while she works on that, Ibuki tells the boys to tidy the club room up, and the meeting's over. Nagisa later invites the boys to her house for dinner, and for a club meeting after that, but Sunohara runs away, saying he has something to do, and when Tomoya confronts him, he says it's a part-time job. So this got really dramatic for no reason.
Yeah, it felt so unwarranted to me. It just follows him across everywhere, pins him against the wall. It's like, I thought Sunohara's the one who had anger issues.
Dude, I was just going to the toilet.
He does, because Tomoya didn't kick Sunohara in the dick.
Oh, so that's the criterion we're using. Okay.
Tomoya accompanies Nagisa to her family's bakery, which they live above. He's shocked to see her mother, who I assume looks young. Everyone in this anime looks young. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I don't know. I was questioning whether he's going to go into NTR area, and he fell in love with the mom or something. I don't know. His reaction.
Nagisa's dad returns from the park with a menacing aura and drags Tomoya off to prove what kind of a man he is. After repeatedly refusing to catch and throw back a baseball, Tomoya eventually kicks it back. Because of his shoulder injury, he can't raise his arm very far and throw a ball.
I feel like this would have been a much better spot to announce that, but whatever.
They return for dinner, and I'm hesitant to say that Nagisa's parents are weird, because everyone's family is weird compared to everyone else's.
That's just in general, just in the whole world? Yeah. That's your personal experience?
Yeah. Have you never met another family? Because you'll think, hey, these guys are weird, because they do things differently to how you and your family do things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, but actually the next note kind of negates that, because this bit is kind of weird. Tomoya is basically forced to spend the night, made to sleep in the same room as Nagisa's dad. I mean, I understand that last bit, but making him spend the night, less so.
Well, they knew that vampires are coming out at night, so...
Oh, it's a 30 Days of Night situation, is it? It's a comic/movie. Anyway, he can't sleep, so leaves the room and finds Nagisa sitting on the stairs. They go out onto the balcony to talk, and she explains that she can't think of how to word what she wants to write. Apparently it's a recurring dream, but she can't tell him about it yet. He mentions that he also has a recurring bad dream, but he doesn't want to tell her about it.
Suspicious.
But he does thank her for inviting him to dine with them. Time skips and Tomoya's bad dream gets a continuation. He started to see a ray of hope. On his way to school one day, Sunohara calls to him from up a telegraph pole. His job is with Yoshino of Saito Electrical Construction Limited.
Wait a minute, am I having a deja vu?
As he seems to keep on doing, later on, Sunohara is giving a biography of Yoshino, who used to be in a rock band. Like, if we want to know anything about any characters, Sunohara's there with all the information. Tomoya explains their roles in the drama club and how Nagisa is late with her script. But none of that matters, as it's suddenly Founders Day. We get a montage of the usual festival stuff, and then cut to the drama club room. Nagisa didn't finish her script, but she does still want to perform it. The play isn't until much later, so Nagisa disappears to the roof, where Tomoya finds her. He gives her a pep talk, and they eat with Sunohara. Nagisa tearfully explains that she wants to act to show her parents that their sacrifice of giving up on their dreams to take care of their sick child was worth it. Later, they head for the stage and meet Yoshino in the stairwell. But he's there for Ibuki. The play starts. It's called Desolate World. I'm not going to go through the entire play, but as it continues, Tomoya realizes that she's describing the same things from his dream.
Yeah, she's totally his abuser. She's stalking him and spying on his dreams. Nightmares. Oh, yeah, sure, that.
The play ends and Tomoya embraces her, telling her that he loves her. This is where things get iffy, because there's a 2-year time skip, it seems, and Tomoya is walking in the rain again. He narrates that Nagisa got sick again, taking her out of school for almost a year, but when she graduated the following year, they moved in together. He reaches the apartment and meets Sakagami at his door. She's brought him bread from the bakery and starts cooking for him as everyone is concerned that he isn't eating. It might have been more than a 2-year time skip as Sunahara arrives, having come from his job in Tokyo. In a few notes, we get confirmed how long it's been, but they sit down to eat and finally confirm that Nagisa passed away. Tomoya returns to narrating over a montage of his and her short life together. He got a full-time job with Saito Electrical Construction Limited. She worked part-time at a family restaurant. Back in the actual present, Sunahara and Sakigami leave, and Tomoya is unable to sleep, thinking back to a doctor explaining to him and Nagisa's parents that Nagisa having their baby will kill her. We cut to the four of them at a lighthouse, where Nagisa explains that she's named the baby and is sure everything will be fine. Everything was not fine.
Yeah, you don't know though, because will be as implies future, and it's still coming. You know, it might be fine eventually.
No, everything was not fine.
Time passes, I think, and Tomoya's dad comes to the apartment. He says it's been 5 years since Nagisa died, and by leaving the baby with her parents, Tomoya is being just like his own father. Dad leaves, but Tomoya's reaction shows that his words had the intended effect. We cut to a morning, and both Yoshino and Ibuki break into the apartment and kidnap Tomoya. They pick up Sunahara, Sakigami, and someone who I think was named one time, and get on the train. On the train, everyone is given their lunch, but still nobody has explained what's going on to Tomoya. Apparently, they're going to a camp, whether he likes it or not.
I'm pretty sure that's kidnapping in some jurisdictions.
The train arrives, and they're supposed to meet someone, so Yoshino splits up the group to find them. But this was a ploy, as Tomoya was sent to the place where they know this person is. And as if you couldn't guess, it's Nagisa's parents and Tomoya's daughter. They're reunited, and the movie ends. Get the credits. So, has this made you want to check out Clannad?
So, I try to be impartial because not only do I own the game, I've watched the original anime, I want to say 3 times. It was one of the first animes I watched.
Really?
So, trying to think individually of this in itself, I think I might have maybe wanted to check it out, but some of the themes and the way it handles things just did not sit well with me.
Well, of course, in the game, you don't have to do the Nagisa route.
Yeah, but if I didn't know that, then I'd be really confused because, see, one thing this movie did poorly is introduce the other romanceable characters. So it just strikes me as a kinetic visual novel.
In the game, do every love interest dies when you get together?
No.
Well, not.
Well,
That was.
then obviously you shouldn't go with Nagisa.
Reading Wikipedia, Clannad is known as the most depressing visual novel. No, I'm making that up.
You wouldn't be far off, though. I read a review of it that said, yeah, if someone says they played through this game and they say they didn't cry, they're lying.
I'd want to check out the anime, probably not the visual novel. I literally tried playing a visual novel yesterday, and I don't know what it is. When I play visual novels, it starts making me fall asleep. It's not helped by the heat in the country at the moment. But like it's 2:30 in the afternoon. I should not be falling asleep playing a game. Yeah, that's a me thing. That's not a visual novel genre thing. So, is this a yata, a nani, or a baka?
I think for me, this is a nani. There's a lot of things that feel unnecessary that were added in, like the class precedent or some themes that just didn't, like the story didn't feel like it connected properly. And it started really slow, and then suddenly you get a 5-year time skip, and it's a 10-year. And it's like, at what point are we just gonna see Tomoya in his deathbed at this point? So I didn't love the pacing of the movie, no. So but I like the characters and I like the story. So I think it's a textbook yeah and nanny for me.
Because.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd say it was a nanny. It wasn't by all means bad. It was well animated. Technically, it was pretty good, but yeah, it was kind of long and wasn't very well paced.
Yeah, I agree with all that. So, does it deserve its AnyList score of 67%?
Yeah, that seems pretty spot on. I originally did not expect it would. I mean, I'm a big fan of Clannad in general, but just watching this, I'm like, oh God, I kind of hated this experience in comparison to the anime. It's not that bad, but it did not need 1 hour and 30 minutes if the pacing was going to be like this.
Do we ever in the anime, do we ever learn if Tomoya fed his gremlin boyfriend after midnight?
He probably. Him and his gremlin boyfriend make a lot of appearances throughout the anime.
It's funny because I was trying to think, how do I describe this behavior that he's showing? And then he jumps on a fence and it's like, oh, gremlin. He's a chaos goblin.
Yeah, that was just spot on. It's like, it's a tantrum. No, it's anger. No, goblin. It's the perfect middle ground between the two.
I'm actually curious how the game handles her story because there is a sequel after story, I think.
I can enlighten you on that. So essentially, from what I know, because I haven't played the game, but I do know a fair bit about it. Her th this kind of narrative that happens after they get together, her dad and them having a kid, it happens as the kind of quote unquote true ending of the game that occurs after you've completed every single route. So you're expected to do Nagisa's last. However, there's also a true ending on top of that that I'm not gonna spoil it for anyone who's interested, but kind of it changes the way things go. And the after story sequel is a glorified video that shows you essentially what happens after he gets in a romantic relationship with most of the characters, but if I'm not mistaken, it's not all of them. So it's just kind of trying to give the same amount of glory that Nagisa's story has to some of the other more famous characters, because there's even a spin-off for Tomoyo that I believe it's just her and kind of trying to give that same sort of attention.
Yeah, that's the adult game that I mentioned earlier, the Tomoya one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that one was an adult one.
Yeah, an adult visual novel developed by Kii in 2005. So that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Atara and Goose.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Bowels Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. Sora Dewa, game on.